Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. You know something, brothers and sisters? I love doing this program. And I love doing this program because I love to be in touch with all of you. I find that a great joy and a great privilege to be with you. Because you're out there, you're doing all kinds of work, you're bearing all kinds of crosses, you have all kinds of challenges in your life, and you have great joys in your life as well. I want to talk a little more today about whether we are carrying the cross, or if we're just weighed down by the cross, or are we really carrying the cross? Today's first reading of Paul to the Romans tells us something we want to hear. At least I want you to hear it, and I need to hear it myself always. Brothers and sisters, Paul to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 to 12. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. But a lot of people do. They only think about themselves. But that's not what we're called to. We don't live for ourselves and we don't die for ourselves alone. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So then whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother or sister? Or you? Why do you look down on your brother or sister? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me. Every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know, it's not, well, Lord, this is what happened in this situation. This is what happened in that situation. This is why I did what I did, or whatever. We try to put it into the best way of looking at it, so to speak. But really, what we should be doing when we're carrying a cross that seems too heavy to bear, go back to the Lord every day, because it's the Lord that gives us the answers. Lord, help me. Help me for today. Help me to care for this, or do this, or change this, or be part of a plan that seems inevitable in our situation. Whatever the case may be, go before the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So we don't want to judge our brother or sister, and yet you and I don't know how you see this, but I think we do it all the time. We come up with snap judgments, quick judgments. We don't have all the facts. We can see certain things, but we don't have all the facts. So don't judge your neighbor. You may acknowledge that there's a difficulty here, and what part could I play in helping that difficulty to be overcome? Yes, but don't make a judgment. Oh, that person's going to end up in hell the way they're behaving. You don't want to do that. You don't know. It's not your place to judge. It's your place to help, to encourage, to support, to lift up, to help people. That's for all of us, every single one of us. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. I'm not there to tell what so-and-so did, or I did this because so-and-so did that, or whatever. It's just me. What have I done with the situations in which I'm in? What have I done in them? How have I handled them? Have I brought it to the Lord? Have I refrained from judging another, which I don't have the right to do? I can judge a circumstance if that's my legal responsibility, but I can't judge the state of the soul of another. Am I in that business, so to speak? Do I quickly judge others, or do I pray for them? Do I ask God to help them? Do I keep them in my prayer every day? You know, I've done that. I've made a list of several people, and just every day brought them before the Lord and said, Lord, I don't mean hundreds of people, but just those who are in particular need. I pray for everybody every day. But what about, and I pray for you, all my radio listeners, I pray for you every day. But there are some people that are strangers to us, but we end up kind of judging the situation and we don't know the whole story. None of us does. So what do? I take it to prayer. I give it to God every day, and I don't make the definitive judgment, though sometimes I would like to, my flesh would like to. And then I ask myself, am I responsible for this? If I'm not, then my responsibility is to pray, not judge, pray. If I can do something, do that something, and then keep praying. Let God be the judge. It's a hard one, but brothers and sisters, that's what we want to do. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. And I want to be in the place where I've helped as many people as I can, where I've supported people, where I've stood by them, I've befriended people, all that kind of thing. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be, oh, I'm fine, I'm perfect, and have nobody around me that I really relate to. That's not my life. It shouldn't be any of our lives. There's too many people out there who need help, and there are many people out there who can be very good friends in the time of need. So let's take a look at our orientation. Do I go to God first or don't I? Do I ask him what he wants of me first rather than telling him what I'm going to do and ask him to bless it? Am I turning to him first in every situation? Then there's a great, great blessing that comes to our hearts. Psalm 27 says, I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's true. I have seen many, many good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, and this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. Sometimes, you know, you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, tell me what to do about this. And there's nothing. It's the silence is deafening. You don't hear anything. And just say, Lord, I put this in your hands. I put this in your hands. I'll be back to you later today. I'll be back to you tonight. I'll be back to you tomorrow. And just come before him, because maybe something else has to happen first. Maybe God wants a change in your heart before he tells you what he wants you to do. But bring things to him. Bring things to him. I will give you rest, says the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. Here we go. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And that was a terrible thing. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. Now notice, they were talking among themselves. Jesus knew what they were saying. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulder with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Ponder that. God will reward us all. But look what the priority is. The lost sheep. Reaching out to those in need, reaching out to those who are despairing. You'd be amazed. Just say, Lord, if you want me to do something in this situation, please let that person say something. Or give me the courage to do what I need to do. Reach out. sometimes people say, no, no, I don't need anything. I don't need anything at all. My goodness, we all have need. Trust him. Trust him. Pope Francis said about this particular passion, I want to read you, I'm reading some of these just because they are so good. Our parable unfolds around three characters, the shepherd, the lost sheep, and the rest of the flock. The one who acts is only the shepherd, not the sheep. The shepherd, then, is the only real protagonist, and everything depends on him. It is a paradox that arouses doubt about the action of the shepherd. Is it wise to abandon the 99 for one single sheep? And what's more, not in the safety of a pen, but in the desert. According to biblical tradition, the desert is a place of death, where it's hard to find food and water, shelterless, and where one is at the mercy of wild beasts and thieves. What are the 99 defenseless sheep supposed to do? The paradox continues in any case, saying that the shepherd, having found the sheep, lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me." It seems then that the shepherd didn't go back to the desert to recover the rest of the flock. Reaching out to that single sheep, he seems to forget the other 99, but it's not like that, really. The lesson that Jesus wants to learn is, rather, that the Lord cannot accept the fact that a single person can be lost. We should reflect on this often, Pope Francis says, for in the Christian community there is always someone who is missing, and if that person is gone, a place is left empty. Sometimes this is daunting and leads us to believe that a loss is inevitable, like an incurable disease. In Jesus' vision, there are no sheep that are definitively lost, but only sheep that must be found again. To the last moment, God is searching. Brothers and sisters, he's searching for each one of us, always. Think of the good thief. Think about this. We sometimes feel like we're lost, and we wish somebody would come to us. When you're in a place where you can, reach out to another and help them. Because most people don't have that experience. They don't have the experience of a next-door neighbor or someone saying, "How are you today? How are you doing?" We seem to be separated in our little houses in a way. And we might have some acquaintances, but there are not very many things we would take to them. But brothers and sisters, some people are in desperate circumstances. Even some people want to kill themselves. What if the Good Samaritan walked up and said, "You seem to be troubled. Can I help you?" Or, "I haven't seen you for the last few weeks at church. Are you all right? Is everything all right? Can I be of help?" Now, brothers and sisters, I just encourage you, think in your own area, in your own relationships, what can I do to bring God to others? God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.